Welcome to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. This show will first be broadcast on Wednesday, August 2nd, 2023, on 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host, Ron Meniza. I'm coming to you live from beautiful Mansfield Hollow, Connecticut. Comment below to let us know you're here and ask questions. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, Patreon, and Buzzsprouts. You can also check out my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at FranStorchND. Do I have to call Twitter X now?
Oh, I hope not.
Well, here's the thing. I don't check my Twitter very often, but somebody directed me to a link for something I wanted to look at, and it happened to be a Twitter link. So I clicked on it, and it opened my app, which did not say Twitter. It said X, and it was a big black X. And then I looked in my social media apps on my phone. There's no little birdie there anymore. It's a black X. A black background with a white X inside. Yep.
So is the car now an X?
Is the car an X?
Yeah.
There's not a Twitter car. It wasn't a Twitter car.
Yeah, but there's a Tesla who was owned by the same person.
No, it's not an X2. No. But anyway, yeah, and people are making all kinds of jokes like, all the little birdies on Jaybird Street love to hear the robin go X, 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 Robin, Robin, X, 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 X Robin, Robin, X, X, D, X.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's lots of jokes like that. It's pretty silly. So we had a nice weekend. I am still off the bike, unfortunately. I'm still rehabbing this poor L2, L3. I am very slowly getting better, and no, the only conventional medicine I have used is naproxen, and really that's it. You bought me lidocaine patches, and I haven't tried them yet.
Yeah.
Because I'm afraid, which is so silly. I might actually go get lidocaine gel and try that because I can use... The problem with the lidocaine patches, it's a definite dose and you slap it on a particular spot and it's all that lidocaine in that particular spot. The reason I got it was because my friend Kathy, who had suffered from the same thing I've got, which is femoral nerve entrapment, she had the same thing and she used the lidocaine patches and she found them very useful. So I should try them. Maybe, like I said, maybe I'll get some lidocaine gel as well. I am doing all kinds of things. I'm doing acupuncture, chiropractic, floating in pools. I did a float in an Epsom salt float tank, which I may do again because I felt really good when I was in the tank. It was really nice. And just a regular pool is really good. It would be really great if I could go to the beach and be in salt water. I might try to get that in. Although it's cooler now. I don't know what the water temperature is like, but, you know, it's going to be nice and fresh in the 70s this week. I'm using all kinds of topicals, menthol with esterified fatty acids in it. And then there's one company that all of their topicals contain things like cayenne pepper, which is a great it's really a counter irritant. That's how it works. Ginger, which is anti-inflammatory. Rosemary, which is anti-inflammatory. And cardamom, which is anti-inflammatory. And, of course, there's, you know, olive oil and beeswax and castor oil in these things. The castor oil is very nice because the castor oil is kind of healing. I have a salve that has comfrey, goldenrod, and ruta in it. And I'm thinking of also just going and getting some comfrey oil, some straight up comfrey oil, because comfrey is great for tendons. So I might get some of that. And then I found an herbal anti-inflammatory that I had hidden in my, I'm like, oh, I should take that herbal anti-inflammatory that my friend had told me about. And I went and looked in my drawer and I had some. So that has more curcumin and ginger and Chinese skullcap and Chinese polygonatum and a couple, I think rosemary as well, a bunch of anti-inflammatories. And one of the things that happened is, you know, my right knee is tweaky right now. And when it's tweaky, there's something inside there that's inflamed. I don't know, it's ligaments, tendons, or meniscus. And two of the tendons in the back are twanging on each other, so it makes it uncomfortable to walk. So when I took the herbal anti-inflammatory, since yesterday, that's better. I'll also say that I had a lovely craniosacral therapy treatment with my friend Therese, And that went very well. It's unbelievable. Here, Ron, give me your elbow. Here, give me your elbow. This is your elbow, okay?
That's my elbow.
Let me demonstrate a cranial sacral move. I'm going to demonstrate. Watch, watch. Or don't blink or you miss it. That's it. Cranial sacral. It's unbelievable. The person puts their hand on you and you feel energy. Thank you, Ron. Thank you for demonstrating.
Oh, you're more than welcome. My elbow is at your wish and...
My disposal.
Disposal.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, at my beck and call.
You know, it reminds me of that Bowen thing that you did to me once, which was really interesting because I got off the massage table after having that done and I felt completely different.
That's great.
And it was weird because you didn't really like do anything.
It's not like massage.
Or manipulate me in some way chiropractically or anything like that. You just touched me in different places.
Right.
Went on for about an hour and it was really interesting.
Yeah. Bowen is very interesting. It was developed by a guy named Thomas Bowen. May he rest in peace. And he just started doing these moves on people. I think it was during World War II or during some war. Anyway, he was just doing it on his coworkers and he didn't work as a body worker. And he just kind of figured it out organically in Australia. So all the Bowen stuff is happy in Australia, and the Bowen Institute is in Australia, and it's kind of nice. And so I got trained to do the Bowen technique when I was at the National College of Naturopathic Medicine. I remember it was an unusual snowy day in Portland, one of my trainings. And there was this nice older gentleman who was a naturopath who worked in our clinic, and he was trained as a Bowen trainer. He'd been trained by the Bowen Institute, and he was allowed to train. So I got my training, and I remember that day driving into eastern Portland, maybe even as far out as Gresham for our training, and it was snowing. And it doesn't usually snow in Portland proper. I mean, it definitely snows as the elevation goes up. So when the fall comes, when you live in Portland, you watch the snow line drop, right? And so first the snow line... You know, in the summer, there may be snow on Mount Hood. And if there is, the snow line is at 10,000 feet. And then the rains come, right? The rains come in Portland. And they start, usually, I don't know if everything's all screwed up now, but when I was there, it rained from October to May, almost every day. That doesn't exactly do that anymore, because when I went to Portland in 2019, it was gorgeous and springy and almost summery in April, which was not what it used to do when I lived there. But anyway, what you would do is it would start raining in October and you'd be like, oh, the rain has started. Here we go. And you would look at Mount Hood. You'd see Mount Hood in the distance. You look east to Mount Hood and you'd see the snow line start to drop. And one day the snow line would be at 8,000 feet, then it would be at 7,000 feet. And then it would gradually come down till it was winter and the snow line would be at maybe 2,000 feet, which was like Sandy. Sandy, Oregon was at 2,000. Sandy or Boring or something like that. I don't actually know. I think Sandy sat at 2,000 feet. But you'd get on Route 26 going east, which is the road to Mount Hood. In one direction is the road to Mount Hood, and in the other direction it's the sunset, and it goes to Beaverton, and then probably goes to the coast after that. I don't know. But you would go out, and you'd watch the snow line drop. But anyway, I learned Bowen there, and the thing with Bowen is, like Ron said, it doesn't seem like you're doing very much. And I remember I had a patient in Nova Scotia, an older gentleman, who had knee pain, and he was overweight, and I did a Bowen technique, and he got off the table and said, doesn't feel like you're doing very much. And then he got off the table and started to walk and went, oh my goodness. It was like that, you know? Mm-hmm. So I've had a number of experiences like that. So Bowen is interesting. It's whereas cranial sacral, you're basically putting your hands on the person at specific spots, and you're helping energy. You're helping encourage energy to move, and you're just giving the body permission to relax and do what it needs to do to heal. At the Bowen technique, you're basically twanging tendons. The basic movement is here. Give me your elbow. basic movement. So if you're looking on Facebook Live, you take two fingers, like your two thumbs, for example, that depending on where you're doing different things. And you take your thumbs and you roll over the tendon and go twang. And that's the move. So you do that twang on various spots on the body. And Bowen didn't really have any knowledge of Chinese medicine, but it's quite likely that a lot of the spots that he chose, that he was drawn to, were acupressure points. So the Bowen technique can also be very helpful. I don't have somebody to do Bowen on me. I would have to do Bowen on myself, which is not a bad idea. I could do that. I mean, it's hard to reach some spots. But today, so I'm getting as much body work as I can. On Friday, I had acupuncture. Today, I'm going to have chiropractic and massage. Wednesday, I'm going to have chiropractic. Friday, I'm going to have acupuncture again. And I'm going to call for physical therapy and see if I can get into physical therapy. And I'm somewhat better, but it's slow going. I'm still in pain, but I'm not in, my leg is working better and my knee is getting better, but it's requiring a lot of rest and I can't do yin yoga. I have to do very select moves. And if I overdo even yin yoga, my back seizes up. So the back seizing up, I haven't gotten regular, normal, boring massage. And I'm looking very much forward to getting that today. Because my mom, who's got supposedly a spinal stenosis, she also has femoral nerve entrapment right now, has been getting regular massage. That's been helping her. And she's 83. So I figure, for me, massage is probably a good idea. So I'm going to do that. Trying to find the position that feels good to sit in has been hard. Right now, if you can see me on Facebook Live and Instagram Live, I am sitting, I found a couple of gushy cushions that's with memory foam in them. So I have a nice memory foam cushion that was inexpensive, that had memory foam and it's got slots and it's open in the back. So your sacrum kind of falls through. I got a more expensive one for the office where I sit for a lot longer and it has holes in it. It's memory foam and it has holes in it for where your sits bones go through. So if you have anything going on with your piriformis, it supports the piriformis. So that was exciting. That came after my show, after I recorded the show last week. So I've been using that probably since Thursday and it's helpful. So, you know, I can't stay in a position for too long. I can't be lying down for too long. I can't be sitting too long. When I'm sitting, I have to change positions a lot and it's good times, let me tell you. But you know, we're moving it along and I'll keep you posted and hopefully this is not going to go to, I'm not going to have to get conventional medicine to get through this. Like I said, the only conventional medicine I've used so far is naproxen and I may use, lidocaine patches and I may go to, diclofenac gel. That there's a gel you can get. Diclofenac is an NSAID, and you can get it. You can get gel. Then you can buy it over the counter at your friendly pharmacy. So I might do that. I've also taken some CBD, and I have topical CBD. I have a topical CBD that's coming, and I'm going to use that because you gave me a little sample of topical CBD, and I burned right through that. And so I ordered some more from our distributor, so I'll try that too. Okay, so here's some more tips for herniated disc pain relief. This says it's 5 little known tips. One thing that I haven't been very good about, applying heat and cold therapy. I haven't been doing that. Nice Ron gave me, he pulled out the heating pad and he gave it to me. Have I been using it? I haven't been very good about using it. And we have cold packs in the fridge to use for physical purposes, right? So I haven't been doing that, you know, so I need to do that. So when you do hot and cold, there's different methods for doing hot and cold. And I do notice one of the things that happened was on Saturday, I went to Buttonwood Farms. So the bike club makes a pilgrimage every year to Buttonwood Farms in Griswold, which is this lovely place. They grow fields and fields of sunflowers, and they have a sunflower festival. And the sunflower festival benefits the Make-A-Wish Foundation. So you can go to the you can go to Buttonwood Farms, and they have a little stand, and they have a cutting field, a great big field of sunflowers. And they have a little stand there. And somebody hands you a pair of sharp pruning shears and they say, okay, you don't pay it first. Go walk around, enjoy the field. Cut yourself as many sunflowers as you like. We recommend that you cut ones that aren't all the way open yet, so you'll be able to enjoy them longer. They give you the prices for they give you the prices for the stock, and then there's a nominal fee to go into the field as well. And if you give extra, they ring a little bell. So anyway, because I wasn't riding my bike, I had already met everybody. I took pictures with everybody, and that was fun to, because I can't ride, makes me feel good to just drive out and meet everybody. That was enjoyable. Mm. And I took their pictures. They took my picture. That was very cool. There's a sign at Buttonwood Farms that says, Griswold, the sunflower capital of Connecticut. So I got my picture taken next to that, and that was very nice. And so after I was done, after I saw them off, I went and walked into the field and did the thing, and I got two sunflowers and carried them back. And they give you, so as I only got two. I didn't want to get a lot of them. I saw people coming back with like 10, and I'm like, I don't want to do that. So two is enough. Because when I got to the sunflowers, I was like, oh, I feel really bad cutting them down. I actually felt bad about it. So I'm like, all right, I'm just going to take two. And I brought them home. And so when they give them to you, they put them in a plastic bag with water so that you can carry them home for wherever you're going. And I live 30 miles from Buttonwood Farm. So I needed to do that. So I set them up in my car so the water wouldn't spill. And the greens, the leaves wilted. And so when I got home, I put them in water with some sugar. And by the way, water with sugar is a good way to keep your flowers longer. The sugar will help them to be a little fresher longer. So I'm like, usually if the leaves are going to rebound, they do after they've been in water for a few hours. That didn't happen, so I cut the leaves off. So if you cut flowers and there are leaves that have wilted and you put them in water and the leaves won't come back, it's better to cut them off so that the flower doesn't spend energy trying to get water into those leaves, and it takes it all the way to the parts that are still alive, or still as alive as can be. So I pruned them off. Anyway, so now I have these two great big sunflowers, and that's really nice. And I got a cool t-shirt too. I have a cool t-shirt. I didn't think you would care about the t-shirt, but you can borrow it if you want. I don't know. Did you? Yeah. So
okay.
So that was good. And it all goes to the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and you can get ice cream there too. And they opened early. They don't usually open for ice cream until noon, and we were there at around 11, and they were open. Okay. People were getting ice cream. It was cool. Yeah. So anyway, I did a lot of walking and moving because I chased the guys on the bike, and there was a split in the group because one of the fellers was he's getting his strength back after having cardiac procedures. So I decided to go the route of the ride and see if I could catch anybody. And I wound up catching the three guys. The other folks had already gone ahead. And when I saw the reason why, I decided to follow them and keep behind them. And it was a good thing because the fella needed a lift about 6 miles out. So that was a good thing. And I felt good to be able to help. So it's nice when you can't ride, if you can support riding, then you don't feel left out. It's nice. And if I still can't ride this Saturday, it's going to be our elder statesman Sol's birthday. So I'll just show up at the Red Barn to celebrate Sol's birthday. So hot and cold therapy can really help. And, when I was driving from Buttonwood Farms, it was a really hot day. It was probably the last hot day in the heat wave for a while. And my car got hot. And so when I went to sit down in the car, the back of my seat was hot. And it stayed hot for a while, and it felt good. Mm-hmm. So that was nice. I'm like, all right, I need to do heat therapy. So what you do, there are different procedures. I usually tell people 3 minutes hot, 30 seconds cold, alternate three times. But I've also seen people say, go ahead and do 20 minutes of cold, wait a little bit, and then or do it the other way. You start with heat. And do 20 minutes of heat and take it off, and then do 20 minutes of cold. And you have to be careful with cold because you can freeze. You can't do this too much because if you do heat for too long, it'll increase inflammation. And so the thing is, the salves that I'm using have warming elements in them. They have cayenne and they have ginger in them, and they feel very nice, I must say. But they're not like hot. You know, and I must say the esterified fatty acid cream I have has menthol in it, and that feels very nice going on. So, but the EFAC cream on, and then I put the hot stuff on, and it's a little push-pull, and it definitely feels better. So, all right. So alternating hot and cold is something you can do. Moderate physical activity. So I have to be really careful because I walked a fair bit on Saturday, and then I was very sore after that. On the other hand, I can't sit still. I can't sit excessively still. So like where I think of exercise for me is like going for a very short exercise would be going for a 16-mile bike ride. Well, I can't do that right now. So not, and I can barely go for a walk. So exercise for me is doing laundry or going out in the yard and walking around the yard or doing very light targeted stretching, not yin yoga flows. I have to do very, very simple things. And they're suggesting walking outside or on a treadmill or using an elliptical or cycling on a recumbent bike. And I don't know if I'm ready for that. And they also suggest using a water-based activity, which is definitely something I want to do. The problem is getting a place that to get into the water. And I do have a friend who's letting me use their pool. The only issue is that the pool is wonderful. It's immaculate and they're so nice. I can't believe they're like, come anytime. Doesn't matter if we're there or not. You just come. And I'm so grateful to them. But there are some days that pool is a little bit on the cold side. And if you're doing therapeutic stuff, you need it to be a little bit warmer. I just have to be careful of that. And I've been able to float in that pool. And I must say the float tank, I did the float tank once. That was excellent. That felt really good because you're just floating and it's the right temperature and there's literally a ton of Epsom salts in the tank. So I may go back and do that. Certain sleep positions. So use a pillow under your knees doing that. So if I'm lying flat on my back, I have a bolster under my knees. If I'm lying on my side, it says right here, lie on your side with a pillow between your knees to keep your spine straight and your hips balanced. So we've been using knee pillows for ages. So we're not using a regular pillow. We're using a special pillow that's triangular shaped and has a groove in it for your knees. And it has a washable cover. And we actually cover the washable cover with a pillowcase. So we just wash the pillowcase every week, every couple of weeks, whatever. And so we're doing that. Then there's the McKenzie method for sciatic pain. I don't have sciatica. I have femoral. It's my femoral nerve. The sciatic nerve is a couple of spinal segments below. So thank goodness I don't have sciatica, but I have femoral nerve pain. But the McKenzie method is a specific type of physical therapy for lumbar herniated disc pain. And it's a kind of physical therapy that shifts the pain away from your leg and into your back. So that's interesting. And then of course, when you're better, you have to maintain your back, which I was doing for years, doing core exercises and planks and all kinds of stuff to maintain my back. But, you know, I just getting old, overdid it. I don't know. What are you going to do?
Happens.
It happens. Sometimes it just happens. It's true. It's and, you know, it's probably because I overdid it. I rode my bike a lot and I was doing a lot of yoga and stretching and we went to New Jersey and this, that, and the other thing. So myofascial release and massage may help reduce pain. And it may not be that myofascial pain is why you have the lumbar pain. It can be a secondary source of pain because you're trying to hold yourself tight together. So when you have myofascial release, it can improve your low back pain. You can use a lacrosse ball or a massage cane to put pressure on tender trigger points. I have to be careful because I think that using the AccuBall was how I got here. That I had a sore spot in my low back and I pressed it and then I heard a pop. And I think that's what actually was the catalyst for what I got now. So I have to be real careful about that. I am using a foam roller. I do like to roll my... So the foam roller doesn't get in as specific a spot, which is not necessarily what you want, but it is helpful. And so, you know, if you have trigger points, you can move the ball around. You can use, like they said, a lacrosse ball. So why would you use a lacrosse ball specifically? Have you ever felt a lacrosse ball?
They're hard.
Very hard. Yeah. They're harder than tennis balls. They're harder than yoga. There's a thing called a yoga ball, which is similar.
They're almost as hard as a hard ball, like a baseball.
Right. They're really hard. Mm. So people buy lacrosse balls to use for trigger point work. There's a thing called a yoga ball, which is similar, but not quite as hard. And then, of course, you can use tennis balls. Problem with tennis balls is they collapse, whereas lacrosse ball is nice and hard. I have AccuBalls that I use for that purpose, and those are, the bigger AccuBalls have water inside them, so you can heat them up in the microwave, and then the little ones don't, and they have little little flat-topped spikes all over them, so they get into your trigger points a little bit better. So those are some nice suggestions for lumbar herniated disc pain. So let's talk about some supplements for nerve pain. Okay, so here's some options for nerve pain. There's if you're going to put things in your mouth to help with nerve pain, you need to talk with your friendly local naturopathic physician, your nutritionist, or whoever you like to talk about with these things, and some practitioner who is knowledgeable in these things. You can talk to your MD if they have some knowledge. If not, it's great to talk to someone who does. So, neuropathy can cause pain, burning, tingling throughout the body, in your hands and feet. I'm not having, well, actually, my right foot sometimes has nerve pain because there's some nerve injury there. But mostly I don't have, my hands and feet are fine. It's the nerve, I'm having reduced sensation on the left side, on the lateral side of my left leg. And then achy nerve pain in my back. So the supplements that can be helpful, there's a lot of them. So first of all, there's acetyl L-carnitine, which I'm not actually taking. It can help with varying symptoms, especially nerve pain. It can also help with people with diabetic neuropathy or people with chemotherapy. And there's some inconsistent research. Alpha-lipoic acid is something that's known to help. I often give that to people who have different kinds of neuropathy. And it's a sulfur-bearing, and it's a very powerful antioxidant. The nice thing about it is that it crosses the blood-brain barrier because it's a little molecule. And so it also gets into the cells easily because it's fatty. And so it can get into the into nerve cells, and nerve cells are just covered in fat. So it's very helpful. The studies don't show a great increase in reduction in pain, but there's some evidence to back that up. And then there's B vitamins. So studies that show that B1, B6, B9, which is biotin, and B12 can help treat neuropathy. I'm consistently taking B1, and the form of B1 I'm taking is benfotiamine, which is very activated B1. I'm actually not taking B6. I am taking biotin. I'm taking B9, which is B9. Wait a minute. Is B9 biotin? No, B9 is folic acid. Sorry, not taking that. And I have B12, but I haven't been taking that. So I might start taking the B12 again. And I could take, I don't know why I'm not taking the B6. I might throw that back in as well. So all of those can help. Because B6 can help sensory nerve conduction, and B12 helps with nerve repair. And you can find B1 in oranges, meat, and vegetables, and B vitamins are in cereals and oatmeal. Calcium, again, which I'm not necessarily taking, but calcium can improve many neuropathy symptoms, but it's not confirmed. And then glutamine, I have glutamine in one of my supplements, so when I take my protein shake, I get glutamine in. And it's the most abundant amino acid in the body, and the body uses it to produce protein. And there was a study that showed that glutamine can improve neuropathy and other symptoms with chemotherapy. So I offer glutamine to my chemotherapy patients when they're having neuropathy. So there's some conflicting studies about that, but I have seen it be helpful. Some people it's helpful, some people it's not so much. You can get your glutamine from corn, from milk, from egg whites, from barley, peanuts, soybeans, and wheat. Although if you're having inflammation, you may not want to do too much in the way of wheat. Yeah, so Then there's glutathione, and I am taking glutathione. That's an antioxidant that the body can produce on its own. It uses N-acetylcysteine and vitamin C to make it. And if you take it, it can be helpful. Magnesium, which I'm also taking, it's a mineral responsible for a lot of intracellular functions, enzyme reactions, transporting nerve signals. And there was a chemo study, people on chemo who took extra magnesium, they're less likely to have nerve pain. I'm having nerve pain. I'm taking all this magnesium and eating all these green vegetables, still have nerve pain. And there are some studies that show that magnesium improves nerve pain, and there's other studies that say it makes it worse. I don't know how it would do that. So then there's N-acetylcysteine, which I am taking as well, and it's a great antioxidant, and it's helpful for diabetic neuropathy. And it's N-acetylcysteine is in beans, bananas, and lentils. The drugs, which I'm trying to avoid, people use anticonvulsants for nerve pain, like gabapentin and pregabalin. People use some antidepressants like amitriptyline and doxepin, and I have seen patients with nerve pain come in on those things. NSAIDs, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, ibuprofen, naproxen, which I am taking, but it's not clear if they help a lot. And then topicals like lidocaine and ketamine and cannabidiol. So I am getting cannabidiol, your CBD. So I am using topical CBD, and I have topical lidocaine, haven't used it yet. And you can also, it doesn't say here, but you can use diclofenac as well. And diclofenac and lidocaine, you can get preparations of those over the counter. They just go to your drugstore and they have them there if you want to. So those are some supplements. There's also lion's mane, which is a mushroom. And some people find that that's helpful for nerve pain. I was taking that for a while. I'm not taking it right now. But that's something that helps with nerve regeneration and regrowth. And then phosphatidylserine is one of the phosphatides that surrounds the cell, that surrounds the cells, part of the cell membrane. I mean, I'm taking that. And St. John's wort, I'm taking St. John's wort, also known as hypericum. I was showing Ron, it's growing in our yard. So I showed it to him, and you know, St. John's wort's really cool because it has these pretty little yellow flowers. And when you crush them, you get this deep ruby stuff on your fingers, and that's the hypericin, and that's the wonderful antioxidant part, the wonderful healing anti-inflammatory antioxidant part of St. John's wort. And St. John's wort is a nerving, so it's very helpful for healing nerves. So we have some in our yard, and I have, I'm taking homeopathic St. John's wort. So that's sort of helping. Here's some more treatments for herniated discs. So physical therapy, I'm going to go get, it used to be that people when people had discs, they were supposed to do 1 to 2 weeks of bed rests. But now they don't tell you that. They tell you to stay active. And when you have a herniated disc, you kind of figure it out. You kind of figure out that you have to stay still for some of the time, and you have to move around for some of it. You can't be completely sedentary the whole time or you feel worse. Like if you stay in bed too long, you'll have more pain because, you know, the inflammation collects. And the thing with the herniated disc is that discs don't have a great blood supply. They are bathed by circulation that is adjacent to them. So in order to get fluids in circulation to them, you have to move around. And so you have to get your circulation going. So as best as you can get that, that's why even though it hurt me, I had more pain after being rather active on Saturday. It was probably a good thing because, you know, I did get more activity. And then yesterday I laid really low. We were going to go to the blueberry farm and we didn't go. So for physical therapy, when you go to physical therapy, they move your body around. They have various techniques that they can use. They might give you exercises for strength, flexibility, and faster recovery. And when you get physical therapy, they'll give you active and passive exercises. So stuff that focuses on direct muscle contraction and other forces that use other exercises that use external force to contract and relax muscles. And so there are various effective passive and active exercises that you use for physical therapy. And your physical, when you go to physical therapy, they'll do them with you, and they will also give you stuff to do at home. Then there's deep tissue massage. So I don't know if I'm going to get deep tissue today or just, anyways, we're going to get Swedish massage of some kind. That's what we're going to do. But this is suggesting deep tissue massage. They go into the deep layers of your muscle through slow but firm stroking, which improves your circulation, reduces muscle spasms and inflammation, and you get to lie there and relax, and somebody will do it. So physical therapists may also do soft tissue mobilization in your routine. And that's similar, but focuses more on soft tissues, and the pressures can vary. They might use traction therapy. It's a passive exercise that it aims to relieve pressure from your bones and joints by stretching the soft tissues. For herniated disc, traction therapy improves the hernia by stretching the tissues of the spinal cord gently. So they can do that with a machine, and they can just pull on your legs. So that's nice. Then there's TENS, transcutaneous electrical nerve stimulation. There's a machine that targets muscles and nerves with electrical currents. This triggers nerves to release endorphins, which help you with pain relief. And it works as an alternative treatment. Aerobic exercises, they might have you do some active exercises to improve blood flow. Although at this point where I'm in this much pain, I don't know what that might look like. I'll see, you know, when I get the PT, I'll let you know. And then of course, stretching. So that they give you targeted stretching for whatever's going on with you. And it helps to maintain your body balance, reduce pressure on your spine's discs. Makes doing other exercises easier. We already talked about hot and cold therapy and acupuncture. How acupuncture works is you're balancing qi, and you're putting so if you're doing acupuncture, you're using needles to stimulate the flow of qi in specific points along the meridians of the body, which is what, so when I go to Nicole, first she has me lie on my tummy and she puts needles in around the disc so to reduce pain there. And then, so I lie there and she gives me points for the pain from the disc, but she also gives me points for relaxation. And so she's working on my knee as well. So she gives me a lot of different points for the meridians that are involved. I also could see Tina, who does acupressure. And so she's doing some similar points, but she's pressing on them with her fingers. So that's another way that you can do it. Then, of course, there's chiropractic, which I've been getting, and I always feel better when I go to my chiropractor. I'm going to do that today. And there are those who think that chiropractic care can worsen your condition. But the thing is, if you're doing gentle, non-force techniques, it can be really helpful. I've always found chiropractic, whatever's going on with me physically, the chiropractor I have, I always feel better when I go to see him. So I do recommend chiropractic, but you have to find the right chiropractor for you. If you go to a chiropractor and you don't enjoy your experience, number one, you can talk to the chiropractor and say, can you do a different method? And number two, if the chiropractor does the same method and you don't care for it, remember, remember what Maud said in Harold and Maude when she was looking at all the daisies with Harold, and how there were all kinds of observable differences in all the different daisies. So even though they're all daisies, right? Every person is different from every other person. Every chiropractor is different from every other chiropractor. So if you didn't have a good experience with chiropractor A, please go and see chiropractor B and see if you get have a different experience, because everybody's a little different how they work. So, and then of course, you know, there's your over-the-counter meds we talked about. The other one I didn't mention is acetaminophen. Acetaminophen is not, you have to be careful how much acetaminophen you take. And acetaminophen has the brand name Tylenol. Acetaminophen is not an anti-inflammatory. It is a pain reliever. It is just an analgesic. So it doesn't work. It doesn't reduce inflammation. So you may want, I'm taking an, I take an NSAID. I'm trying to take the Zyflamend, this other compound, and not the NSAID right now, this other herbal combination, because I think the herbal combination works pretty well. So I haven't taken naproxen since Friday, which doesn't mean I won't again. I may, especially on work days when I have to sit for a long time. I might go for the naproxen. But the Zyflamen helped me. I'm impressed with, I think it reduced the inflammation in my knee significantly. So I'm very pleased with that. We already talked about anticonvulsants and antidepressants. We didn't talk about muscle relaxants like benzodiazepines, but they're addictive. But they can be helpful in treating herniated disc pain. I'm afraid to go near that. What I would consider doing is taking a GABA agonist, because benzodiazepines stimulate receptors that are related to the neurotransmitter GABA, which is a calming neurotransmitter. And so you can take, so theanine, you can take GABA itself, you can take pharmaGABA, which is extra absorbent, you can take taurine, and they all, and ashwagandha, they all increase GABA activity. So I could take any of those, and I might. Opioids, I want to avoid those like the plague, personally, and because they're highly addictive. And as far as I know, my family doesn't do well with opioids. Like when they take one opioid, they get sick from them. So I don't want to even go there. And then steroids. But you have to be careful with steroids because they raise your blood sugar. They can make you very emotional, and they enhance the risk for lots of other health issues. So I'm going to try not to go there. You can get epidural injections, and the epidural injections can be with steroids. They can be with lidocaine, which is an anesthetic. They have a pretty good success rate, but you may not have permanent pain relief with them. And then selective nerve root blocks, it's minimally invasive. It disrupts pain. And they mix, and that's where they inject the steroids plus the anesthesia near the nerve root sheath. And it suppresses the production of the inflammatory compounds that are coming out of the area. They also use them as diagnostic treatments, because if they work, then it's probably a herniated disc. And then there's cell-based therapies where they give you bone marrow concentrate or minimally manipulated adipose tissue transplant. Those are very fancy, and you'd have to find a specific place that does that. And then there's the platelet-rich plasma therapy, which is done a lot with athletes, where they take your cells and they process it and isolate the platelets and re-inject it into the area, and because platelets work as a line of defense. So those are some more therapies for back pain and stuff. Okay, so that was, let's see. So I did that. Okay, so let's do yoga poses for back pain. Here's yoga poses for back pain. And you have to be careful when you're doing yoga poses, because my understanding is that first of all, they're talking about doing cat-cow. And I then found out that if you have a herniated disc, you're not really supposed to do cat, that you're not supposed to arch your back in that direction. You can arch your back in the cow direction, which means dropping your stomach and arching your back concavely, but you're not supposed to arch your back convexly, which is what you would do with the cat. And so what you do, if you want to do the cat-cow, you do cow flat. So you come up and you arch your back and you do cow, and then you flatten your back. It works your erector spinae, your rectus abdominis, your triceps. Then downward dog. Again, downward dog may not be the best thing for if you have a herniated disc, because there's some arching of your back that happens. Then there's extended triangle. There's all these poses that are really not good if you're in acute spasm. Sphinx is something you can do now. Sphinx is something you can do when you have a herniated disc, because you're arching your back in the right way, and you can hold that pose and you can come up and down in and out of Sphinx. It works your erector spinae, your gluteal muscles, your pectoralis, your trapezius, and you're also helping to open up your spine, so to push the disc back in, so the piece of the disc that's herniated. Then there's cobra, which is similar. And cobra, again, you're arching your back in the correct direction. You're not you're not arching your back convexly. You're arching your back concavely. So cobra is something else you can do when you have a herniated disc. Then there's locust. Again, locust, which also I think is known as, that's either bow or boat. I forget which is which. I think it's bow. Anyway, so you're lifting your back and your legs up and reaching your arms backward. And again, you're bending your back in the correct direction. So that can be helpful too. And then bridges definitely are something you can do, because again, you're bending your back in the correct direction, and you can hold the pose, and it'll help with strengthening and help to get things aligned so that this can reinsert itself. And then half Lord of the Fishes, something. Now that's a twist, and I'm questioning whether you can do twists right now. So Lord of the Fishes is just a seated twist where you're also known as half cow face pose. You have a bent leg, you're seated with a bent leg, and the other leg is crossed over the top of the other leg, and you turn and face away from the top leg. So it's a spinal twist, which you would think that can open up the, if there's some pressure on the spinal segment, it can do some decompression. Then there's two knee spinal twists. This is the simplest spinal twist that you do. You do it lying down, and you just drop both knees stacked on top of each other to one side. And you can have your, you want to have your collarbones on the ground, or your shoulders on the ground, your collarbones facing up, and you want to have it, your face can either be facing straight up or turned in the opposite direction of your knees. And it's the most gentle twist is when your knees are bent and your legs are stacked right on top of each other. So that can be helpful too. And then there's child's pose. Now I'm finding that right now child's pose is difficult for me to do. I can't go back very far. But again, when you do child's pose, your back is arching concavely. So that's something you can do. You can also do puppy pose. Child's pose, you're sitting with your butt all the way back onto your heels, whereas puppy pose, your calves are perpendicular to your thighs, and your back comes up flat, and then you walk your arms out so that your arms are in front of you, and they can be just your hands can just be walked out, or you can put your elbows on the ground. So puppy pose is a little bit easier for me right now. So yoga is very helpful. It keeps you strong and flexible. It does a lot of good things for you. I am noticing that I have to be really careful which poses that I do right now, because I'm finding that I have a lot of muscle tension, and it can make me more sore. So I'm just being super careful right now, and I'm doing targeted stretches. Like I'll find a yoga flow that says for herniated discs, or stretches that are definitely for herniated discs. And that's what I'm doing right now. So, all right. And then there's your piriformis. So your piriformis is a muscle that's in your butt, and the piriformis muscle's job, it's this little muscle whose job is to turn your foot out or medially away from the midline. Okay. So when the piriformis is spasmed, it can put pressure on the sciatic nerve. And so you might find that you have butt pain, and that you have and that it's nerve-like in quality. And so so having a tight piriformis can lead to piriformis syndrome, can lead to sciatic pain. Now I have pain in the butt. He's sitting right here. I'm just kidding. I do have a pain in the butt.
I give you a pain in the butt.
Right, I know. Mm. But I don't have sciatic pain. So fortunately, it's not affecting my sciatic nerve. It's affecting the femoral nerve. So I'm not sure if my piriformis is affected right now. However, when I do stretches that support the piriformis stretching, it does feel better. So probably just because everything is tight right now. So anyway, so to stretch the piriformis, you have to do medial rotation or internal rotation. So doing a figure four stretch can be really helpful. So piriformis syndrome may not need treatment. Another way to get piriformis syndrome is if you tend to carry your wallet in your back pocket. It's not a good thing to do. You shouldn't do that. If you want to get piriformis syndrome, carry your wallet in your back pocket. Not a good thing to do, because you wind up sitting on your wallet. And then it makes your butt spasm. The other way you get piriformis syndrome is by driving for a long time. Now, Ron Smart, when he drives, he uses cruise control. And so he hopefully he doesn't get piriformis syndrome there.
I also put my wallet in a little side pocket there.
Right. So you take you don't sit on your wallet.
No.
Sitting on your wallet is not a smart thing to do.
Nope.
All right. So piriformis syndrome, you can do alternating ice and heat on your buttocks or legs. You can use over-the-counter anti-inflammatories like ibuprofen or naproxen. And it may go away just like that. If you do, and if you stretch it, it can go away pretty easily. You can lie, one stretch you can do is to lie flat on your back with both knees bent and lift your left ankle. Yeah, this is your figure four. You're basically lying, reclining pigeon pose. That's a great stretch for the piriformis. And I find when I do that right now, it does feel good. So you lift your leg and you cross it so that your heel is on top of your knee and while you're lying down, and then you lay back, and then you can increase that. You can just leave it right there if that's enough for you. That you can actually just keep your foot on the ground and with your leg in that figure four, and just keep your foot on the ground, and that may be enough for you. If you'd like more stretch, you can reach for the leg opposite to the crossed leg, and you can pull it, reach around the thigh and pull that in. If you are flexible enough or your condition allows it, you can also reach through and pull your from just underneath your knee, just pull on your shin, and that will enhance the stretch as well. So right now, because I have my right knee is sore, when I do the figure four, I wrap my hands around my right thigh, and when on the other side, I am able to reach for my knee. So I'm able to, so when I cross my right leg over my left side, I can then, even though this side has the paresthesia, I can still reach for my shin. I'm able to do that. So so piriformis, that's one exercise you can do. You can also use the TENS device to prevent piriformis syndrome. Regular exercise helps reduce your risk because you have more circulation going on. Make sure that you warm up and stretch before you engage in a vigorous workout. You can stretch or you can just go easy for the first 5 minutes or so. I find that if I'm running, I'm in a place where I'm running, where I don't run very much, but if I am, it's better for me to walk first, walk for a good 5 to 10 minutes before I engage in running, and then gradually build up the intensity of whatever sport you're doing. Don't just jump in and, you know, you haven't ridden your bike for a month and then go ride 50 miles. That's not a good idea. So you do the 10% a week and start easy. Avoid running up and down hills or on uneven surfaces. That's unfortunate because the uneven surfaces are good for your for varying your exercise and helping you with balance and strengthening various muscles. So that's unfortunate. I'm not an advocate of only going on flat surfaces. I think you don't get as much out of your workouts. So I would say go on the not so flat surfaces. Maybe you don't. If you have piriformis syndrome, maybe you want to stay flat. But if you don't, varying your terrain is actually a good thing. If you have it, it's unusual to have it, but sometimes people get it. And most of the time, what I see is that if people have nerve issues in their back and legs, it's because of a disc. It's not piriformis syndrome. They would have, so for you to have straight up piriformis syndrome, you'd have to have a lot of pain in your buttock and nothing going on in your back. And you just don't see that usually. So let me see. So natural treatments for piriformis syndrome. Let's see. So like I said, it often doesn't need treatment. This is sort of replicative. I'm not going to look at that. Here we go. All right, let me try this. All right, so we'll wrap up the piriformis. Okay, we already talked about that pretzel stretch, which is the doing that figure four, crossing your foot over your knee and pulling back if you can, or just putting the opposite foot flat on the floor. You can just pull your knee into your chest. And again, if like I have a sore knee right now, so I can't pull my knee all the way into my chest. So what I do is I pull my thigh. So I don't have that extreme. Right now, this knee can't be bent it can't be moved to extremes. So it can't be bent extremely far, and it can't be extended extremely far. Well, the extension is better than it was. So you can pull your knee into your chest either by holding it over the shin or holding it over the thigh. You can do a seated twist. You can take, if you're sitting a lot, you really should take breaks from sitting as often as you can. I mean, and what I've often said, what I do at work is if I'm working on a chart, even though it's inefficient to stack the chart, to not stack the charts up, if I'm done with the chart, I stand up and I carry the chart to the next place it's going to go, even though it's less efficient than just stacking them up. It forces me to get up whenever I'm done with the chart, because I tend to sit more in the charting part of my day than I do in the patient care part of the day. Because the patient care part of the day, right now, my patients are very understanding. I explain to them what's going on, and I tell them, listen, you may see me squirming around in my seat. And they're like, oh, stand up, sit down, do whatever you need to do. So while I'm talking to them, I can do that. It's harder to do when I'm actually typing. So I have to make sure I get up. But the thing with patient care is that I have to go up and get the patient. I have to bring them in, and I have to get up and examine them. So there's a little bit of up and down that happens. It's actually when I'm just the end of the day, when I'm just charting, I have to force myself to get up. So massaging your piriformis muscle can also help. You can even do self-massage because you can reach it. You know, it's that sore spot in the middle of your tush. You can just massage it yourself, and you can do foam roller on it. You can do tennis balls, lacrosse balls, any kind of small ball to do trigger point work on it. And if it doesn't get better, you should get someone else to massage it, because you can always, I think that when you get massage, it's always better if someone else does it. All right, so that's enough stuff for this week. Next week we'll talk about foods to eat to reduce inflammation, and meditation and other things that reduce inflammation. And there'll be more stuff to talk about. Okay, so you have been listening to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host, Ron Meniza. You can email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, and Spotify. You can also leave questions or comments on my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at Fran Storch, ND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on the show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back next week with more Radio Naturopath at 91.7 FM, WHUS stores, and WHUS.org.